Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly 45-minute segment of news from Palestine and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program presents news and analysis from the Palestinian perspective, a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. We ask our listeners, were you involved last week in the Palestine-Israel peace movement and the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's illegal military occupation and colonization of their homeland? Did you speak out on the atrocities Israel is committing every day in Gaza and the West Bank? If not, why not? There are many ways to get involved, and here are a few examples. One, you could join the Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights by calling 617-491-2313. Two, you could join the Middle East Crisis Coalition by writing to crisismiddleeast@yahoo.com. Three, you could join the Israel-Palestine Task Force of United for Justice with Peace by writing to ujpiptaskforce@yahoo.com. Four, if you are Jewish and prefer to join a Jewish group, there is the Boston chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, which you can contact either by calling 617-984-0532 or by visiting its website at vovictoryopsandpeterj.org. Five, you could go to Palestine and help with the olive harvest or help Palestinians live their daily lives under occupation by contacting the group Boston to Palestine at its website, bostontopalestine.org. Six, you could work with the International Women's Peace Service in Palestine by applying to iwps-pal.org. Seven, you could go to Palestine under the Birthright Unplugged program, or eight, under the Needle in the Groove program by applying respectively at birthrightunplugged.org and needleinthegroove.org. And nine, if you live in Cambridge, you can join a delegation of Cambridge residents who are planning to go to Bethlehem in November. Bethlehem is being strangled by Israel's illegal wall. It is completely isolated and is desperate for help to reopen the city once again to the outside world. For more information or to join the delegation, please write to bethlehemcambridge@gmail.com. It is Sunday, September 16th, 2007. We begin with a few announcements followed by news highlights. The first Boston Palestine Film Festival opens on Saturday, September 29th, with five films and an opening party. A short 15-minute documentary, Going for a Ride, by Nahed Awad, will be shown at the Coolidge Corner Cinema at 12 noon, followed by the film Arna's Children, by Giuliano Merchamis, The Price of Freedom, by Martin Ginesti, and Belonging, by Tarek Nasser. The film Leila Khaled, Hijacker, will be shown at the Museum of Fine Arts at 7:15 p.m., followed by the film festival opening party. The opening party will start at 8:30 p.m. at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts and will feature musical performances by the well-known Palestinian oud and violin virtuoso Simon Shaheen, singer and oud player Aboud Alberga, and qanun and flute player Anastasia Zachariadou. The event is open to the public. Come and enjoy Middle Eastern food prepared by the Casablanca restaurant and meet with the Palestinian speakers, actors and film directors who are showing their films at the festival. Again, the opening party of the first Boston Palestine Film Festival will take place on Saturday, September 29th at 8:30 p.m. at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts. Tickets can be purchased by calling 617-369-3306. Today marks the fourth day of the holy month of Ramadan and Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, both of which started the same day on Thursday. We congratulate our Muslim listeners on the felicitous occasion of the holy month, praying that it will bring the blessings of justice and peace to all. To our Jewish listeners, we wish a happy new year, and may you be inscribed in the book of a good and sweet year. Today also marks the 25th anniversary of the savage 1982 massacres at the Palestinian refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila, masterminded by then-Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon and his Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Rafael Etan, and carried out predominantly by the Israeli-trained, Israeli-armed, and Israeli-controlled Lebanese Falange forces under the leadership of Saad Haddad. All under the glare of Israeli searchlights and the flares dropped by the Israeli Air Force. More than 1,700, mostly women and children, were murdered under the watchful eyes of Sharon Etan, Israeli General Amos Yaron, Falangist Commander Eli Hobeka, and Lebanese Commander and Intelligence Chief Fadi Frem, who maintained radio contact with the troops during the killing. In an early dispatch, Janet Lee Stevens, wife of international lawyer and author Franklin Lamb, wrote, I quote, "I saw dead women in their houses with their skirts up to their waists and their legs spread apart. Dozens of young men shot after being lined up against an alley wall. Children with their throat slit. A pregnant woman with her stomach chopped open, her eyes still wide open, her blackened face silently screaming in horror. Countless babies and toddlers who had been stabbed or ripped apart and who had been thrown into garbage piles." End of quote. May their souls rest in peace. The massacre was also documented in great detail by Bayan Nuwayhid al-Hut in his book Sabra and Shatila, published in 2004, and by the internationally known independent reporter and author Robert Fisk in his book Pity the Nation, The Abduction of Lebanon, published in 2002 by Nation Books. Following is a summary of recent news highlights for the week. On Tuesday, an Israeli tank fired shells on the home of the Abu Qumsan family in Beit Hanun, injuring four residents, including children. The children were identified as Nadia, age 5, Rewan, 7 years old, Nadine, 17, and Ayad, 21. Israeli media said the attack on Beit Hanun civilians came after a homemade shell landed on an Israeli army post, wounding 67 soldiers. On Wednesday, at the village of Deir al-Hatab, located about 2.5 miles east of Nablus, settlers from the settlement of Alon Moray stole water from the local spring in the village and used it for a swimming pool for the settlement's residents. The Israeli newspaper Yediot Ahronot, Israeli observers and media figures reported that the settler children urinated and deposited rubbish in the village's water supply, forcing the residents to buy water from Israeli sources, which they cannot afford. The villagers have desperately called on Israeli and international media to make their plight known, but to no avail. On Thursday, the Hamas government urged Gaza's occupation resistance fighters in the name of Palestine's national interest not to attack border crossings with Israel in order to ensure the flow of basic goods into Gaza, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. In addition, Ismail Haniyeh said he was ready to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas anywhere to open a dialogue and end the political crisis. Also on Thursday, four occupation resistance fighters survived an Israeli aircraft attack in northern Gaza, which wounded two bystanders. The wounded locals were taken to the Kamal Adwan Hospital. Flare bombs lit the skies of southern and central Gaza, igniting fears of the imminent massive attack against Gaza, which the Israeli military had been hinting at for weeks. Witnesses have reported massive presence of Israeli tanks and armored vehicles all along Gaza's borders. And also on Thursday, Israeli forces were reported to be operating in central and northern Gaza. And on Friday, the BBC reported that a small Israeli force entered Gaza through the coastal strip at the Sufa crossing, with tanks, armored vehicles, and helicopters. Clashes broke out between the Israeli troops and some Palestinian occupation resistance fighters. There were no immediate reports of casualties. It is not known whether this is the beginning of the much-advertised large-scale attack on Gaza. Transferring to the West Bank, the southern district and city of El Khalil, known as Hebron in this country, saw a number of Israeli forays. In Tel Romeda, a local human rights worker reported that 7 settler children and 1 adult attacked a Palestinian child at 10 a.m. on Wednesday outside the Beit Hadassah settlement while Israeli soldiers and police looked on. an ISM human rights worker intervened and protected the child. On Thursday, the first day of Ramadan and Rosh Hashanah, Israeli forces closed the Abraham Mosque, also known as the Tomb of the Patriarchs, in the city itself, and banned Palestinians from praying there, claiming that their action was necessary to protect the settlers while they were celebrating the Jewish New Year. The military also tightened besieging measures intended to immobilize the Palestinian population of the city. We should note here that the city of Al-Khalil is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. With a population of approximately 170,000 Palestinians, it is the second largest city in the West Bank after Nablus, whose population exceeds 250,000. Al-Khalil is now divided into two sectors, known as Area H1, nominally under Palestinian control, and Area H2, which once contained the most significant parts of the commercial center, under Israeli control. About 600 armed extremist Israeli settlers forced themselves on the population in what became Area H2, under protection of the Israeli occupation forces. Claiming the old Kasbah as their own, they built part of a settlement literally on top of the 800-year-old Palestinian market. The settlers are protected by a large contingent of some 2,000 Israeli soldiers, according to some reports. The settlers routinely throw their garbage down on what is left of the Palestinian population in the old part of the city. Repeated attacks by the settlers and the Israeli military have destroyed virtually all Palestinian commercial activity in Area H2, reducing it to ghost town. The 1,000-year-old Abraham Mosque, known as Al-Haram al-Ibrahimi, or the Sanctuary of Abraham in Arabic, which is a holy site for Jews, is also the fourth holiest site in Islam, in which are enshrined the tombs of Ibrahim, or Abraham, Ishaq, or Isaac, Yaqub, or Jacob, and their wives. Al-Khalil is also known for its glassware, its ceramics, and for the quarries around it, whose stones are used to build Israeli houses in Jerusalem, and which are known as Jerusalem stones, sold by Israel abroad. Jerusalem stone is used for tile, which is imported in this country. We had hoped to interview Palestinian independent journalist Mr. Hisham Sharabati, who is a native of Al-Khalil and editor-in-chief of the local paper Risalat Al-Khalil. Unfortunately, we cannot reach him. And in lieu of this interview, which we were hoping to have, we will play the latest edition of the International Middle East Media Center News from the Ground. And that is all we have for today. We apologize to our listeners for our inability to communicate with our featured guest, but I guess this is part of the par for the course, I guess. We wish you all a pleasant and restful weekend and look forward to having you with us next week, same time. Until then, this is Sharif Fahm signing off for now and reminding our listeners to get involved now in the good fight for peace in Palestine and in Israel. Thank you.